The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
It was late one evening in May of 2002 when I received a phone call from my husband. He was calling me because our daughter was sick. They had had father-daughter night out, and I could hear her crying in the background. Well, little did I know what this phone call would mean. Now, I just thought she probably just had a virus because there was a virus going around that was putting adults in bed for 2 weeks. Now, I mean, my husband never did get it, but I just thought that's what she's got, and that'll be that. She's just going to have to run its course. Well, little did I know that we would still be dealing with whatever that triggered 14 years later. This turned into a genuine nightmare, and I want to talk about that on today's show and some of the things that I've learned and how I've gone down the path and where it has led to today. That was some of the sickest that she had ever been. And as I said, that started us down a journey of 14 years. Now, her problems would wax and wane, and it took a few years to really find out what they called this. And what started as a virus turned out to be, it turned into what they call PANS or PANDAS. Now, this is in a subcategory of OCD. And when she was around 9, I think, we took her to a psychiatrist because, you know, the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on, and we were having some real issues. And then we took her again at age around 13, but both of them diagnosed her with PANDAS. Now, at that time, it was called PANDAS because it's since been, the name has been changed to PANS. Now, PANDAS stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorder Associated with Strep. But they've later learned that this problem can also be caused by other bacteria or viruses that basically turns on the body. What happens is they think is that it's an autoimmune condition where the immune system starts attacking the brain, and it's caused by an infection. Now, they didn't know this at first as far as the infection, but they learned later that an infection actually causes it. They've also changed the name to PANS, and it stands for PANS stands for Pediatric Acute Onset Neuropsychiatric Syndrome. Now, PANDAS was first coined by Dr. Susan Sweeto in 1998, so it's a relatively new disorder. Now, to give you a little bit of an idea of what PANDAS or PANS is like, here are some of the symptoms. There's an acute sudden onset of OCD. There's challenges with eating, and at the extreme end, anorexia. There's sensory issues. These children often have problems with clothes and sound and light. Certain sounds really bother them. Light bothers them. Their eyes are very sensitive to light. Their handwriting deteriorates tremendously sometimes. And there's also sometimes urinary frequency or bedwetting. Small motor skills deteriorate. And I'm getting this from the International OCD Foundation.org. For those that are interested in this, you can go to that website and learn more about it. It's IOCDF.org. They can also have tics, ADHD type symptoms. They're inattentive, distractible, unable to focus. They have difficulty with memory. It really affects the nervous system and the brain. They can have an overnight onset of anxiety or panic attacks over things that were just no big deal a few days ago. I mean, these children change overnight. I mean, they can change in a heartbeat, and it's like you feel like you've lost your child. It's a very, very traumatic thing for the whole family to go through. They have suddenly unable to separate from the caregiver. You know, they have separation anxiety. They can scream and cry for hours on end. And that happens often. They have a fear of germs, and sometimes they can have more traditional OCD type symptoms. But a lot of their symptoms are not traditional OCD symptoms. They're very just off the wall, odd and strange type symptoms. And I remember the first OCD symptom that our daughter had when about 3 or 4 weeks after the onset of this virus that we thought was a virus. Then about 10 days later, she spiked a high fever, and then we took her to the emergency room because what I had given her wasn't taking it down, wasn't bringing this fever down as fast as I thought it should. And so we took her to the emergency room, and because it was on the weekend, because her fever was going up. But I had given her Motrin, and usually doesn't give her that. Tylenol usually works quicker, but I had to give her Motrin that time, that day. And of course, the doctor, you know, he said it's just a virus, and they didn't run any tests, said it was a virus and sent us home, just gave her some medicine, sent us home. And so about 2 or 3 weeks after that, then she has the sudden onset of OCD. She heard a loud noise and came in from outside. She was always outside, and she was very upset. Now, she was around 7 years old when at this time. And I just remember she was just really upset because she'd heard the loud noise and thought it would hurt her hearing. And I'm thinking, what? Because this wasn't my child. That didn't make sense. Usually children don't pay that any attention. And I remember holding her and rocking her. And here she is 7 years old, but she was crying. She was upset. And I was trying to console her. And again, I just remember thinking, what is going on? Because I just did. It was like this was not my child. And that's the tragedy. That's part of the tragedy. There's several that goes with this condition. With having a child with PANS or PANDAS, their personality changes. It's like they are just a different person. And some, you know, you can talk to any mother, and this is a sample of what they may say to you. You know, a child who is happy at home and is, everything is fine, and everything is fine at home and at school, and then all of a sudden, you know, in 1 week they're fine, and then the next week they may be walking in circles for hours or washing their hands until they bleed or asking the same questions over and over, and small things bothering them, and they're crying and upset over nothing. And you can't console them, and you can't rationalize with an irrational person because these fears are irrational. But these children know they're irrational. A part of them knows that it's irrational, but it's like a part of their brain just can't turn it loose, you know, and it still bothers them. And these children are also, you know, they beg for help. They're begging the parents for help. And then the parents are just struggling. And then you take them to doctors. We took her to doctors. And I know sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, you didn't take her to regular doctors, but we did. I mean, we've been accused of not doing that. We did. I took her to several medical doctors, you know, and I'm real big on alternative medicine. I'll be the first to admit that. But you see, what happened is when I took her to her pediatrician, he at first thought she had mono. This was sometime later, because we thought she was just still kind of trying to get over the virus. But then when these OCD symptoms came, it's like, oh my, I didn't even know that's what it was, because it was just really odd. It wasn't the typical OCD type stuff, but she had irrational fears. I didn't even know what questions to ask. And that's the problem with some of these conditions, especially the rare type, which thankfully this is a rare type problem. Sometimes you don't even know what questions to ask. And I didn't for a while. And I took her to the pediatrician a little later, like I said, when it just kept being a problem. She just kept having problems, and my child changed. It's like a part of my child. It's like a part of my child died, and she had a different personality. It was like it was something else, or someone else invaded my child or something. It was really, really hard, really hard. And then we're dealing with something that we have no idea what we're doing, what we're dealing with. So I took her to the pediatrician, and he thought first she had mono. And then he checked her for that, and it was negative. And then he thought, well, it was allergies. And, of course, we put her on allergy. You know, you just start grabbing for straws when you don't know what's going on, and the doctor doesn't know what's going on. And it's something so odd and so off the wall that it just, it's like I said, you don't even know where to start. You don't even know the questions to ask, much less what's going on. And it's really discouraging when the doctor doesn't know what's going on either. So we put her on the allergy diet, and that seemed to help. But, you know, a lot of the food she didn't like, so if she didn't like it, she just wouldn't eat it. And so then we learned later that when she got hungry, the OCD was worse. And so what happened is then, you know, I started turning more and more to alternative health, because we just weren't getting answers with regular medicine. Now, sometime later, when she was around 9, we did take her to a psychiatrist. And right away, the psychiatrist, she, you know, we took her to one in a nearby town, and pretty quick she diagnosed her. She knew exactly what it was. But you know what she said? She said, "You'll have to excuse me, but I'll have to call UAB, University of Alabama in Birmingham, and ask them." She says, "I've only seen two cases, and this doctor came from Emory in Atlanta." And she was in another town in Alabama, but she said, "I'll have to call UAB and ask them how to treat this, because I've only seen two, but I've never treated a case." And she diagnosed her with PANDAS. And one of the keys, and the psychiatrist at age 13, or around 13 when we took her, she diagnosed her right away too. She just knew it was, you know, she said it was PANDAS also, and gave her some medicine. But, you know, and of course when the first psychiatrist we went to called me back, she said, "Just treat it with medicine. That's how they treat it." And that is at that time, the only way they treated it was with medication. And still, regular medicine still does not have a really good way to treat this condition. You have to go start getting more into the alternative medicine. Now, there are some medical doctors that use alternative medicine that can treat this, and they do a good job for a lot of cases, but every case is different, and they'll tell you that. Every case is different. Some are more complicated than others, and, you know, this is what really led me more into the alternative. I was already in alternative medicine, but it really led me more into it because I wanted answers. I didn't just want to give her medicine and cover the symptoms. You know, that's just a Band-Aid. Now, yes, we did have her on medication at different times, and I'm going to talk more about this later. There is a place for medicine when you need it, and sometimes you need it to stabilize things till you can figure out or find somebody that can figure out what's going on. But I knew something was really wrong. I knew something was really wrong with my child, and I wanted to find out what that was and get her well. Now, it took several years because even alternative doctors were kindly baffled. And we just kept grabbing at straws and going to and trying different things and various things. And some things worked pretty well and some things didn't. But it's pretty scary when you go to medical doctors and they really don't have any good answers. And you go to alternative doctors and they really don't know what's going on. And, of course, you really can't blame them because this was pretty new. I mean, this was a new thing, new problem. Again, the PANDAS was only, the term PANDAS was coined in 1998. And our daughter was born in 1995. So this is just something that, unfortunately, you know, things like this happen. You know, when medical doctors do not know really what's going on, and you're dealing with a child that is screaming and crying for hours at a time. There were times we were up all night long with her screaming and crying. And she's miserable, and we're miserable. And nobody really has the answers. Now, that will change your outlook on life, folks. If nothing will, that will. So what do? When you're not finding answers, you don't want to just give them medicine to cover up the symptoms and go on about your merry way. And it's a good thing I didn't also because it's a good thing I didn't too because what we later found out, now some of the energetic testing that we did, Lyme showed up. Now, the Lyme test, you know, was not totally shown. It was a little questionable whether she had it or not on the Western blot test. But that test is not very accurate anyway. But the point is, she had Lyme co-infection. She had Lyme symptoms, other Lyme markers. She also had severe mold toxicity, and she had several of the Lyme co-infections. And so Lyme, they have learned, can cause PANDAS or PANS, as well as any number of other bacteria or viruses can cause it. But through the years, what I learned to do was to observe her. I observed and I tried to, because this would wax and wane, and some things would make it worse, some things would make it better. And so what I did was I just learned to observe her. And I would say, if she started doing better, I'd try to figure out what made her better. And if she got worse, I'd try to figure out what made her symptoms worse. So this is what you do when you don't have the help that you need and you're trying to just navigate the waters yourself and find the people that can help try to figure out what's going on. So I did a lot of research and study, and I learned that there are six areas there are six areas of health, and I want to go over those here in just a minute. But I did a lot, like I said, I did a lot of research and study to try to figure out where to start and what was going on and who could I get her to that could maybe do the test that would figure out what was going on also. And again, the viruses can cause this, other bacteria, the flu, a certain type of flus can cause this. And basically what happens, it's an infection. They can have an infection in their brain. And I'm not sure if they know if it's always in the brain or if it's just somewhere in the body, but I think a lot of times it's an infection in the brain. And what happens is the immune system is attacking the brain, along with trying to attack the infection. And that's what they think. And again, it's still early. There's still a lot of research that needs to continue with this illness. And there's still a lot they don't know. They treat this with immune therapy and with other different types of things. And sometimes they have good results. Sometimes they can treat children with antibiotics and they improve and they do fine. And it, I think the earlier, of course, that you recognize it and treat it, the better. But some cases are very difficult and they're more complicated. And our daughter was one of those cases. And again, like I said, her personality changed. And there would be hours and hours that she would just cry and have meltdowns for no reason. And we were like walking on eggshells because you never knew what would you know, tip it off, what would cause it to her to start crying and get upset over something. You could say you couldn't have a normal conversation without, you know, being a little uneasy, afraid that it might, you know, cause her to start having meltdowns again, because you never knew what would cause the meltdowns, because it could be any number of things. And it was at those times when she was so bad that she would just cry for hours. And this would last, it would wax and wane. Some days it may last a week, or it may last a month, or it may last several months. And then we'd get a break and get a day off and get a few months off or a few breaks, a few weeks that she would be doing better. Again, it would wax and wane. And I was always trying to figure out what was triggering it. What was triggering it? Well, there were several triggers, and I still, you know, don't know that I've discovered all of them. But thankfully, she is a lot better, and we've learned a whole lot about what's going on with her. But, you know, when you have a child that's sick or anybody in your family, you know, some of us want to be careful about the medications that they take. And I only wanted to, of course, what they would prescribe for this would be like they would prescribe for any OCD. They just treated it in a subcategory of OCD. They treated it with SSRIs. And there were times we did put her on these medications. I was only using the medication as a crutch. And we only did this when she got so bad. And some people don't understand that, especially some family members just did not understand why I wouldn't just put her on medicine and leave her on medicine. Well, I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to explain why I didn't want to do that. I had some good reasons for why I just wanted to use that only as a crutch and only temporarily till we could get her stabilized and maybe try to figure out what was going on. Well, we didn't know, first of all, we don't know the long-term effects. And this is the problem with these medications, these psychiatric medications for children, especially because children, you've got to remember, children's brains are still growing and developing. And you're going to hit their brain with these medications that's going to alter their brain chemistry. Well, you know, I was really, that scared me in doing that. But of course, sometimes when they get so bad, that can be more of the problem and more of an issue than just the medication. You know, you have to weigh out the pros and cons. Well, first of all, we don't know the long-term effects of these drugs on children's brains. And these drugs have caused a lot of problems in both children and adults alike. And that was one reason I didn't want to. And also, when you take these SSRIs, and a lot of people don't realize this, and again, I'm not giving medical advice or anything like that. You can do the research yourself, and you need to discuss this with your doctor. But these SSRIs, they just stop the reuptake process in your body. They don't put any more serotonin in. They just hold the serotonin in the system longer. But the longer you're on these drugs, then over time, at some point, the body will stop producing serotonin because it'll say, well, we don't need it. We've got, you know, we've got enough. So if your body stops producing it, then you have to take it. And to me, to have to take something when you don't have to get in that situation, it's not good. Now, sometimes if you have to, you have to. And that's, of course, that's, you know, you just have to do what you have to do. But when you cause it on yourself, you know, we just need to be aware of these things. And if that's okay with you, I mean, you do what you want. But I didn't want that. I didn't want her dependent on these drugs for the rest of her life, especially when we really didn't know what was causing it. See, and these psychiatrists and the doctors, they would prescribe these drugs, but they didn't test to see if her serotonin levels were low. Now, maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but they didn't test for that. So what if, you know, what if that was raising the serotonin levels, but the serotonin wasn't low? So that was a problem. And also, they didn't do a PET scan. They didn't do, you know, to see if there might be some infection. Of course, at that time, I don't think at that time they knew that you know, there could be an actual infection in the brain. But the point is, they didn't do a PET scan to see if something else could have been causing the behavior. And also, on one of my programs, I interviewed an investigative journalist who's an award-winning reporter on my show. Her name's Kelly O'Mara. Now, she worked on Capitol Hill for 17 years, and she served four members of Congress. And she was the first one to make the connection between violent behavior and psychiatric drugs, specifically SSRIs, and she wrote a book on it called Psyched Out. So there has been a connection between these drugs and violent behavior. And also, some doctors won't prescribe these drugs, now they won't, if a patient has threatened suicide before. Our daughter had done that. Now, I don't think she was that serious, but you can't take this stuff for granted, because these children can be so miserable. You know, you just get ready for anything. So anyway, so she had threatened that. So some doctors won't give them if their patient has threatened suicide. So that would not have been, potentially not have been a good idea for her to be on. Of course, she did fine on them when she did do that. But that's also another reason not to just keep doing it, you know, time after time, if you don't have to. So that was another reason that I just didn't want her on these drugs willy-nilly. Only when absolutely necessary, and only for as short a time as possible. And I also wanted to get to the root cause of her problems and just fix them. You know, they just, these doctors, you know, and they're good doctors for what they do, you know, but a lot of times doctors don't really search to try to get to the root cause of the problems. And I wanted to, I just wasn't content with medicating the symptoms away. Again, I wanted to find out what was causing the problems and fix it. And then, of course, we did find out she had several infections and mold, severe mold toxicity and several problems. One of the co-infections she had was Babesia. It's a Lyme co-infection. It has a fatality rate of 25%. Now, that's not good. And for people to just stop at the medicine and say, okay, we'll just live with it. Well, what if there's something, the problem with not getting to the root cause of things, of illnesses, is what if there's something deadly going on? And like I said, the Babesia, and that's just one infection she had. What if we had just ignored that? And she had, how long was she, could she have died from that? Well, I don't know. But it wouldn't have been a good thing to have left that, kept being in her system without trying to get rid of it. And you have to be tested for it. And if these doctors wanted to stop with the medicine and didn't want to continue with the testing, try to find out what was really going on, then would she have ever? She wouldn't have. If I just left it at that, said, okay, we'll just give her medicine, we'll just go on about our merry ways, she would have just gotten sicker and sicker. Because like I said, that was just one infection she had. And then she had other issues going on too. So it's always good to get to the root cause of the problems and fix it. Just fix it. And then, you know, you shouldn't need the medicine then, but if you do, of course, that's up to you and your doctor. You have to work all that out. But usually, if you get the root cause of the problems, if it's not too late, you can fix it, and then you won't need the medicine, and you can go on, and then your body can normalize, and everything can get back to normal. And so those are some reasons why I didn't want to just put her on medicine and just leave her on it and go about my merry way. because it wouldn't have solved all the problems. And, you know, we learned that she had quite a few going on. Okay, but my research also led me into several, I've just learned so much doing the research on this, and it led me into, like I said, several areas of alternative medicine and into energy medicine. And energy medicine is like my favorite type of medicine to be studying. And, of course, that has led into some other areas, too. I have seen things and witnessed things that I never thought I would ever see or witness. And I ran across a book by Dr. Bradley Nelson, The Six Underlying Causes of All Disease. And I think this is really important for people to understand. There are six areas, and especially if you have an illness where you really, they really don't know what's causing it, and you're chronically ill, and doctors don't seem to have the answers, then you, as I did, may need to start looking in other areas. And that's the way I was thinking. You know, I'm like, well, we're missing something. You know, if we look in this area and we're not finding answers, then look in another area. And so I started looking in a lot of different areas, and I've learned a whole lot about that, about, you know, about how we have more levels to our being than just the physical. There's the physical, the energetic, and the soul area, and that type of thing. But in Dr. Nelson's book, The Six Underlying Causes of All Disease, this is a really good place to start if you have an illness where it's a mystery and your doctors are really not helping and you don't know where to turn, then start looking in other areas. Now, the six areas Dr. Nelson talks about, the first one is energy field imbalances. Now, again, as I've said, we have an energy field around us. We are made of energy, and I'm going to be talking more about this in upcoming episodes because this is very, very important. And the energy field, for the most part, in Western medicine is neglected. And that's something that I feel like more and more people are going to start paying more attention to because it's a very important part of our well-being, and that's our energy field. And of course, they've proven that everything is energy. They've measured it with the microscopes, one of the most high-powered microscopes, and they measured the atom down to where they cannot magnify it anymore. And what they found at the very core of the atoms, which atoms make up everything, when they can't go any further, they discovered that at the very core of everything is energy, that we're all made of energy. And then other researchers have gone further and said, well, actually what makes up the energy field is information. And they also have some products that puts the correct information in the energy field. So energy field imbalances, and there are some machines out there that measures the energy frequencies of the body. And there are several different types. And there's a very new type of machine that's called a CyberScan, which I'm hoping to interview the lady that does a lot of those here one day on the show as well. But that's a very interesting and a very accurate scan. I think it's one of the more accurate scans that they have out there. But energy field imbalances are one area that is one area that needs to be looked at, especially, I mean, it does anyway, but especially if you have an illness that, you know, is a mystery and you're having trouble finding the root cause of what's causing your problems. Also, nutritional deficiencies. Nutritional deficiencies, that's pretty well self-explanatory. You know, all the junk food and the processed food the Americans are eating, we have a lot of food, but not very many nutrients in a lot of the food that we're eating. Even the organic food is not as nutritious as it used to be 50 years ago, 50 and 100 years ago. So nutritional deficiencies, because if you think about it, the vitamins and the minerals, the essential fatty acids and all that, that is how our bodies, that feeds the cells. And of course, cells make up tissues, tissues make up organs, organs make up systems, and systems make up your body. So when you have healthy cells, you will eventually have a very healthy body. And of course, what feeds and builds those cells are nutrients. It's not medicine. It's nutrients. That's what feeds and makes a healthy cell. That's one of the things, is nutrients. So we can have nutritional deficiencies. We can also have infections and infestations. Again, you can have Lyme disease, mold toxicity, and these are some of the things that America as a whole just kind of ignores. It's not really given the attention that it needs because there's so much denial of this. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand. People want to deny these things exist because there's ample evidence out there that shows that it does. But whatever, you know, that's just the way it is, I guess. But again, we can have infections and infestations. So if you're sick and you just can't seem to get well, maybe you need to ask your doctor to order some more tests and see if there's some type of infection. Another type of infection that is ignored, but it's getting more and more attention, is an infection in the gums and in your teeth. That is one real big overlooked area that can cause infections, and that can affect your whole body. So maybe you need to go to a good biological dentist and have that checked out. And I'm talking about people that, you know, they just have a chronic illness and they're just chronically tired or just they chronically don't feel good. You may want to check in some of these other areas just to see if something is being missed. Another area of illness or a cause of all disease is structural misalignments. Now, this is where you get into your chiropractic services and all. If your spine is not aligned correctly, it can start pressing, the vertebra can start pressing against nerves, and the nerves are not sending the correct signals to each organ. They're all connected to certain organs and everything of the body. When that's affected, then the organs start, you know, having problems there. So structural alignment is very, very critical. And there's a newer type of chiropractor service that they're doing where they align and adjust the atlas. And that's at the very top, very base, at the top of your spine, at the base of the skull. And the atlas alignment is very promising to help, because the idea is you align the atlas at the very top of the spine and you keep that aligned, and then it helps to align the rest of the spine. The rest of the spine then just kind of falls into place. So that makes a lot of sense, and I'm also wanting to do a podcast on that in the future also, because that's a very interesting procedure. Another area is toxins and poisons. Of course, I've talked about mold toxicity, and this is something that's overlooked. A lot of people just don't understand the problem that certain people have with mold toxicity. If you have what's called a mold genetics, your body is not able to, you know, whether you believe in genetic problems or not, some people have trouble getting rid of mold toxins, and they get start collecting in the body and start causing problems if they can't get out. Some of the mold toxins, especially trichlorhexidine and some of the other ones, are just very, very bad. And if they build up, they can affect the brain, the gut, the liver, and suppress the immune system. There's all kind of problems with mold toxicity that, you know, you could do a whole show on that. So toxins and poisons, they're all kind of toxins and poisons, and we're living in a very, very toxic environment, a very toxic world. Our air, food, and water, all of that contains toxins. If you're not filtering your water, I highly suggest doing that. You can go to ewater.com. They have some fantastic water filters there. Naturalnews.com also, they have some very good water filters there. But check out various places, you know, that would have water filters, and do your own research. But you want to get a very good water filter that will especially filter out the fluoride. Fluoride is very hard to get out of water, and you can't get 100% out of it, but you can get very close if you get some of the better water filters. So you want to be sure and try to filter, just get a good water filter and filter your water. And, of course, it's always good to eat organic. Now, that food's more expensive, but, you know, the price of poor health is expensive, too. So we need to eat organic as much as possible and try to just minimize the toxins coming into our bodies. Now, our skincare products, makeup and skincare products for ladies and all, and men that may use moisturizers and different soaps and that kind of thing, try to get the healthier type of products that minimizes the chemicals in them, because these things are cumulative. And in a lot of people, I'm seeing, it seems a lot of people, especially the sicker people, they're having trouble detoxing. Now, there's different detox pathways. There's the MTHFR gene and a system that can be affected also, and you have problems detoxing that way. But this is something you would need to discuss with a qualified doctor that maybe could run some tests to see if you're having detoxification problems. Now, if you're having detoxification problems, and again, what I'm noticing is the sicker patients usually have, and I'm not saying everybody, but they tend to have more detoxing problems. And that's one reason that they're sicker than the average person, is because they can't get these toxins out of their body, because our body's being bombarded with toxins every day. And our body is just, I mean, we weren't supposed to be living in this toxic of an environment, but our bodies can handle only so much, and our bodies are very good to handle a lot, but we're really taxing our bodies with all the toxins that's going into our bodies. And again, it's coming through our air, food, and water, and not to mention some of the other things, you know, the things we put on our skin. They say as much as 60% of the toxins are coming through our skin, of what we put on our skin. So we want to be really careful and put healthy things on our skin and try to be careful about the toxins and poisons that's going into our body, because again, this is cumulative. And if you have trouble detoxing, then, you know, sooner or later your bucket's going to get full and you're going to start getting sick. So you want to just be aware of that. And then the sixth point that Dr. Nelson says, or the sixth area of disease that can cause disease, is trapped emotions. And this would have to do, of course, some with stress, this can stress the body and everything, but trapped emotions. And he has some emotion and body codes that he uses. He trains people to help people to release those. It has to do with the energy field also. But these emotions that can get trapped in our bodies, they're negative, and they can cause some very stressful and negative health problems, and cause a lot of stress on our system. So that our trapped emotions, our trapped stress, you could say that as well. And there are different techniques that people can do to help release trapped stress or trapped emotions from our bodies. And that will help us to be able to, take that burden off of our bodies so that our bodies can get well. And, you know, our bodies are very intelligent. The body's very intelligent. And if we give the body what it needs, a lot of times it can heal itself unless it's gone too far. And of course, sometimes, more and more people are seeing this, people are getting sicker and sicker and sicker. But if your body hadn't gone too far, then if you just really give the body what it needs and look at all of these different areas, then you can help your body to help take the pressure and the burden off the body so that it can heal itself. And again, you hear that a lot with alternative medicine. And sometimes, again, we're getting sicker and sicker as a nation. And we're getting to where we're needing more help from other people to help our bodies to get in that healing state. So these are six of the things. And I want to add another area to what Dr. Nelson is talking about here, and that's the area of the soul. Now, this is going to get into an area that a lot of people may be uncomfortable with, but I like to test and try a lot of different things, and I've done this through the years, and that's how I learn. That's one way I learn. I like to test things out, and I'm usually always testing something. Now, it may be a supplement or it may be a different technique. Well, I've checked into this, and it's called past life regression therapy. And this is where you go into these sessions and you look at past lives that you may have had. Now, a lot of people in the U.S. don't believe in reincarnation, but some people do. But many hundreds of millions of people through the years have believed in it. And I'm not saying it's real or it's not. I'm just saying that we're testing this technique now and we're getting some really good results from it. Now, whether you really believe in reincarnation or not, whether you, the sessions, the trances that you go through, that you get into, whether you're really remembering a past life, or whether it's just a story that your subconscious is just throwing up there to help you, to help bring up some problem that you need to address. Either way, I think it's fine. It's just what we're learning is this technique does work. And yes, it can get way out there, but it's actually pretty interesting. And so, again, I like to test things. And, you know, I have said, and I still say this to this day, and I've said this for years since our daughter has got sick, you know, you don't know to the extent that you would go to get a loved one well until you've been there. And until you have witnessed screaming and crying and had to live with sometimes it just feels like you're in a torture chamber at times. When you really get desperate, then it's amazing what, you know, where you will turn. And it can be a good thing, because sometimes we blow things off that are actually good, but maybe we're not motivated enough to check it out. Well, I've been really motivated to check out a lot of things, and some things have worked and some things haven't. But again, that's how you learn. That's how I learned. That's one way I learned. So we're checking this out now, and again, we're getting some really good results. And so, but like I said, what I have said in years past, and I still say to this day, that as long as it's legal and it doesn't hurt her and it works, I don't care what it takes to get my daughter well. And we've almost got her there. She's almost there. And again, this last procedure we have been using is working, and we're not finished with that yet. So that's still, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But the point is, you know, you can be so desperate, and the people that have never had to deal with a serious illness or a chronic illness, well, first of all, count your blessings. But for those of us that, for those people that, like us, that have had to deal with chronic illnesses, you know, it's something that you wish other people would be just a little more understanding. And if you haven't had to deal with a chronic illness, again, be thankful. Be thankful. But also be understanding of people that are going through a chronic illness, especially the patient themselves and the whole family. Because, you know, as the saying goes, you don't know what you don't know. And unless you've been there, there's no way you can really understand it. And the families really can't explain it unless you've been there. You really can't explain what it's like to go through a chronic illness and have to deal with things and that normal people don't have to deal with. But it also has helped me to learn a whole lot. And I've changed so much, and it's because I've seen so much and I've learned so much, and it's just taken me into a whole different world than what I have been in most of my life. One of the many things that I've learned through my experience is that, you know, our daughter is very sensitive, and they call what they call indigo. And you may have heard some of the other podcasts where I talk about this, but this is a very important piece of the puzzle. And again, if you're sick or if you have a family member that's chronically sick, what I have learned, and I'm not saying it's always the case, but what I'm learning is that your sicker patients a lot of times are the more sensitive patients. Now, we talk about indigo children, crystal children, whatever you want to call them. I just say that so that it kindly will give an idea of what I'm talking about. These children, these people are very sensitive. They feel other people's energy. They feel other people's stuff. You know, if you come in stressed, they can sense that quicker than the average person. Now, we all can be, have the potential of being real sensitive, in a way, but there are some people here, especially these newer kids that's being born, they're very sensitive. And it seems to be, what some people think is that the DNA is changing. The DNA is, we talk about we're all energy, but the DNA is vibrating at a higher rate than the my generation and previous generations. And along with that, they're really just a different type of person, you know, because with that comes a high sensitivity. And they say that we, and I know this is going to sound like a vocabulary, you're getting into the woo-woo now, but that's okay. We're going to touch on it just a little bit. Because again, this is something I've learned. And they say that we're going into a different dimension. And that's going to be news to some of you, and some of you it's not. More and more people are waking up to this and waking up to the fact that things are changing. We're evolving as humans, and we're changing. And we're changing for the better, I believe, but it's hard for these children especially, as they I feel, are more built for the fourth dimension, and they're living in a third dimension reality, and it's so toxic, and it's very, very hard on their bodies. And I believe that's one reason, it's strictly my opinion, but I believe that's one reason they tend to be very sick, or get very sick, because they're very they have a hypersensitive nervous system, and again, the environment that they're born in is just very, very tough on their systems. I mean, it'd be tough on anybody's system because of all the toxins and everything that's in our society, and their bodies are being bombarded with. And that's one reason that we're so much sicker than we used to be. And I think the main reason is just because of so many more toxins. And I've talked to I've talked to doctors and other healthcare professionals, and they're saying the same thing. A lot of them are saying the same thing, that people are getting sicker, and they believe that it's toxins is one main reason. I think there's others, but that's one main reason that people are getting sicker, is because we're in such a toxic environment. But these sensitive children, and they call this, you know, when you're sensitive, your skin is sensitive, your taste buds are sensitive, your hearing is sensitive, your eyes are sensitive, you know, light bothers them. Now, different things can cause this, but they call this sensory processing disorder. That's the name for it. But I think it's just basically toxins. I think it's, you know, probably two or three different things, but toxins on the nerves, and also with these just sensitive children. Now, again, these children can, they can sense stress. You know, they know when you're lying, you know, and they just can sense if you're up to no good. And now we all have that ability, but I'm just saying these children have that ability is in hyperdrive. And again, it's just a different type of evolved human, really. We're just going to that next level. And for those that want to learn more about how the world is changing, there are some books by David Wilcock that I highly recommend. And he goes through great detail of explaining some history of what's been going on and what possibly the future holds, and how the world really works. Again, it's David Wilcock, and he has got three books out. One, The Synchronicity Key. The other one is The Source Field Investigations. And his last one, just released in August, is called The Ascension Mysteries. If you're interested in any of that stuff, there's also a lot of other good books out there that you can read to learn more about these different dimensions. And again, it may just be a curiosity thing, but I think it's something that if you're interested at all, these are excellent books, and they're sourced. They have a lot of sources, resources, and references in them. He's done a lot of research, and he really knows his stuff. And these are books that can open your eyes up to some things that you've probably never thought about before. But they're very interesting books, and I highly recommend them. And also, I've got a book called The Misdiagnosed Child. This is a book that I've written, documented our journey to a certain point. I'm going to do a second edition, an updated version of this book here at some point in the future. But if you want to get my book, I talk about a lot of different things in this book, a lot of different things that we went through. And I talked about the pandas. I talked about a lot of different things that you may not have thought about, but if you're struggling with some health issues, that you just are having trouble coming up with some solutions, then, you know, you may want to grab my book. You can get it off of Amazon, but I go over several different areas, and it's just some things that's good for anybody to read. I talk about several of the neurobehavioral problems in children. I go over that, and I also talk about toxins in the book, food and behavior, how food affects our behavior. And I also talk about several different alternative tests and treatments. There are a lot of alternative tests and treatments out there. And people needn't think that traditional medicine is the only way. It's not. There are a lot of different things, and there's more and more things that's coming out all the time and being discovered and being developed in alternative medicine, especially in the area of energy medicine. And again, energy medicine is my favorite part of medicine, because I think it holds more hope than any of them, of really, really, you know, helping us to gain our health back. But of course, time will tell on that. Some of the things I talk about in alternative tests and treatments in that chapter, I talk about live blood cell microscopy. And that's where they can take a sample of your blood and put it under dark field. Some people call it dark field microscopy. They can put it on there and watch it live on a TV screen, and you can see it yourself. And they can see all kind of things that's going on in your blood. And that is a very interesting test. And they don't do that in every state, but it's a very interesting test if you ever have a chance to get it done. Also, neurofeedback therapy is something that's very good. And there's also something called thought field therapy, TFT, and then there's an offshoot of that called emotional feedback therapy. I think that's what that's called, but the EFT and TFT, those two are tapping techniques that you can do that helps to release trapped stress in your body. And that also works real well. And sometimes you have to, there's certain points on your body that you tap in a certain sequence, and that helps to release trapped stress. And it's amazing how these trapped energies can cause problems. But that's one technique, and there's a book, Tapping the Healer Within, that you can get. I'm sure you can get it off of Amazon. But Dr. Roger Callahan discovered this technique, and he was the first one to come out with this technique, because like I said, he discovered it. And there's an offshoot of it called EFT. But both of these are good, and it's a book, and they have various tapping sequences in the book. If you're just dealing with some type of stress, it also deals with other, like grief and various other things they have in that book. And that's, like I said, that's just a good book to have on hand. But that's one of the things that, one of the many things that I discovered. And, of course, the emotion code and the body code, that's also another technique that helps to relieve and release trapped stress, trapped energies in your body. I know my shoulder started, it was bothering me, and I had this technique done on me, and I noticed a day or two later my shoulder wasn't hurting, and I didn't even tell her about the shoulder because I had, forgotten about it. I just kind of ignored it. But I've had results with that, and had results with the TFT also. So these things work. Now, will they work the same with everybody? No. And that's another thing that people need to realize, what works for one person may not work for somebody else. And so that's why, we just need to test and try different things and find what works for us. And so always remember that. If somebody's trying to just sell you something and guaranteeing it, be sure there's a money back guarantee, because it may not work for you. And so we always have to keep that in mind. There's also the healing codes. That's another type of energetic technique that was developed by Dr. Alex Lloyd. And it is another, like I said, energetic technique that helps break those energetic blockages. And then we have earthing. And earthing, people have heard me talk about this on the podcast before. They sell earthing mats. And this is just something that helps the body. It's like an antioxidant for the body. It helps calm the body down, and basically you just walk barefooted on the ground, or you can buy some of these earthing sheets. But that's a technique that's really good, and it can be very cheap. You're just walking outside barefooted. That's very good for you. Another type of alternative technique is Reiki. Now, some people, especially Christians, they just shy away from anything that sounds woo-woo and all. Well, Reiki is where a type of energy comes through your hands. This really works. I tried it, but I remember I was reading some about Reiki, and I know that I was raised as a Christian, and I know that we're supposed to, stay away from some of this that sounds woo-woo, But I'm thinking, but wait a minute, why don't we just try it and see? I mean, because, and I've been... the reason for it, the only way I could figure out is they would think it was evil. Well, so I decided I was going to check it out, because it seemed like it was like a healing technique. And of course, it don't cure anything, but what I'm saying is it's a good energetic technique that helps the energetic body to be healthier. And so we tried that out, and I saw some amazing things with that is unbelievable. And that was one thing that really started opening my eyes up to the fact that we haven't been told everything. There's some things we just haven't been told. So Reiki is an energetic technique, and it helps cleanse the energy field of the person that's been done to. It helps open up your chakras, which are those energy centers in your body. And you can really feel it when I'm injured a hip. I just knew I wanted Reiki on it, you know. And so when she did Reiki on my hip, you know, I could feel tingling, and I could feel some pain sometimes, and then it felt good. All during one session, I had several different sessions, but it helped it, you know, get better quicker. And so Reiki is just a really, really good, and there's nothing evil to that because I checked it out. Now, of course, can someone that does Reiki put evil stuff in it? Of course. Of course, anything can be made evil. You know, churches can be turned into evil. I mean, or there are some churches that are evil. You know, there's some witchcraft churches and devil-worshipping churches and all that. But you just stay away from that. But the Reiki master that we first got to know, she was a very kind lady, and a very good lady, very calm, and a lot calmer than I was when I first went to her. But Reiki is also a very calming. Over time, it helps you calm down, and she had done it so much. She was just a very relaxed, calm person. I was very impressed with that because I wasn't quite so calm. I'm still not as calm as she is, but I think I may be a little better now. But Reiki, again, it's just a really a good healing type of technique that's good to help cleanse your energy field. And she would want us, she told us about Reiki, she explained it to us, and she told us if you're looking for somewhere else, you're looking for a Reiki master, then check them out. And if you see evil stuff or bad stuff on it, then you just stay away from it. But there's a lot of good. She was helping a lot of people, and it was just a very kind lady, and it was all good. It was all good. So again, we don't know this stuff. We don't know what it does till we check it out. And some things we may not want to check out, and that's fine, but we won't really know about things until we check them out. And I mean really check them out. And then if they're not good, then walk away from it. Then don't do it. But to just sit back, too many times people sit back and pass judgment on things that they know nothing about. They just know nothing about. And they're afraid of it. And maybe it's not anything to be afraid of. Then there's another energetic technique called NAET. And it's an allergy elimination technique, and I have had this done a lot, and it works. It's in energy medicine, and it works because I've had it done several times. Now you have to be careful. Some of these sensitive patients, you don't need to go too fast with them, and so you have to be careful on that part. But there's a detoxing that occurs with it. And again, it's called NAET. It's Nambutrapads Allergy Elimination Technique. And this is just a way of removing these energetic blockages, energetic problems in the body that is causing your body to have a bad reaction to something. And again, it sounds like it is just really strange, and maybe it is, but I'm telling you, it works because it's helped me on many different occasions. I've had a lot of food sensitivities and allergies of all kind of things, environmental and everything, and it's helped me a whole lot. And so this, they're doing tests, and they're actually doing a study on autistic children with this technique. And I'm not sure the latest results of that, but they were having some results with that and helping them to get better. But I think that's still ongoing. So again, this is just one of many of different alternative testing treatments that's out there. And I'm going to be bringing some of these things on some of my podcasts and talking about several things in the future, just so that you will know some of what's out there, and that you will know that traditional medicine doesn't have all the answers, and there are alternatives, and there's plenty of things out there that can help us, you know, to live a healthier, better life. And again, some of these things may seem far out and crazy, but you really don't know what something, if it's really crazy or not, unless you check it out. And what I've learned through the years in checking out so many different things, and I continue to check out things, and it has opened a whole new world for me. Now, did everything work that I checked out and tried? No. It didn't work for me, not everything, but several things did. But I would have never known if I hadn't have checked them out. And so I encourage you to be open-minded and look at things, be willing to look at things and just give them the benefit of the doubt at first and maybe check them out if you think maybe it could help you, because traditional medicine doesn't have all the answers. Alternative medicine doesn't either. Energy medicine doesn't either. And I have said before, the doctor that uses traditional, alternative, and energy medicine, that's going to be the more complete care that doctor will be able to give. That is like the perfect trifecta to me, because I have seen energy medicine pick up things that traditional medicine has missed, and I have seen a traditional medicine pick up something alternative medicine has missed. And so it's good to use all three. And if you can find a doctor that uses all three, then you count yourself very lucky and very blessed, because that, to me, that is the perfect scenario of more of a complete healthcare system. And what I've learned is whether something is crazy or not really just depends on how much you know. Because some of these things that I've told you about and that I'll be talking about in the future, they work, and they work like gangbusters. But to other people that are not familiar with it, it may seem crazy. But once you understand it, it doesn't seem crazy at all. So whether something is crazy or not just depends sometimes on how much you know.